What's going on, y'all? Welcome to episode 2 of the Hot Corner. This is your boy Mikey, man. You know where to follow me at JR_Solito. We got Courtney with us. Follow her at 1800 Caller Bro. And we got our man Dante at October's Own Verite. This is his flu game. He's coming through for us, man, with the baseball content. He's currently under the weather. You know how it is. You know, it's crazy, especially like us from the Midwest, you know, like it's 90 degrees outside. Motherfuckers be like, how you get sick in the summer? Like, no, germs are still very real and prevalent. So we appreciate you showing up, Dante. How y'all feeling?
I know I got y'all, bro. I feel like somebody punched me in the face, but we rocking. So
I wasn't feeling too great this morning either, but still we rise. And I got my water open, so I'm thrilled. I was over here. I needed the jaws of life to open my water bottle.
Yeah, also, you're about to go crazy.
Not Scott in the comments, like he's fucking Logan Roy out here. God damn, y'all still working tomorrow.
I will not be. I got PTO. I'll be working for the man. I just won't be working for the Barber's Chair Network tomorrow. But let's get into it, y'all. So we're gonna start off today's episode with the Athletics. Every year, the Athletic does a poll. Over the course of 2 months where they, during the springtime, they go ahead and they poll MLB players, about 100, half on the NL, half on the AL, and they go ahead and they ask them some, you know, some real questions, stuff that we kind of talk about, barbershop banter. So what I saw, there was a few that came out. They did about 10 questions, but we picked out the four that really stood out. So the first one was, who do players think is the best player in the game? 46% of the votes went to Shohei Ohtani. I think all of us could have said that. What was interesting was just kind of the order after. Number two, Ronald Acuna with 26.5%. Those are, you know, your two MVPs, respectively. You have your AL MVP and your NL MVP. Third, Mookie Betts at 8.8%. Aaron Judge at 8.8%. And the golden boy, Mike Trout at 3.9%. When you guys seen this on first glance, what is y'all thoughts?
It was about what I expected. I didn't think anybody would say that Ohtani wasn't the best player in the world.
Yeah, I'm going to say I love Ronnie, but he's not better than Aaron Judge. That's just my personal opinion. But I could see why they put him at that because of everything he did last year. 40-70, you can't deny that. So based on what he did last season, and I believe they took this poll – like during spring training, so before the season started. So the order makes sense, especially like a lot of people like Mookie Betts. Like you look at a lot of the list, he's on the top of a lot of these lists that somebody people want to play with. So the top four didn't surprise me, but the top two especially, I'm not shocked.
Yeah, Mookie seems like the type of dude, like we're in high school, he'd win like most popular, prom king, homecoming king. Like he's just all around like, there was a question here, who's the one teammate that you would want to play with the most? And Mookie Betts was the number one player. They just,
yeah, you know, we're all saying like great vibes. Everybody
great,
like,
great vibes. Yeah, great vibes comes in. Obviously, we know he could play multiple positions. His bat is electric. So I was pretty cool with this. You know, some people that did receive just one vote, Bryce Harper, Philadelphia Phillies, we know him. Gunnar Henderson, Jose Ramirez, Adley Rutschman, which was one that was kind of, I was kind of shocked to see that. Corey Seager and Zach Wheeler. Are you guys shocked that Mike Trout is still getting, you know, like such high of the votes considering that?
It's funny. I wanted to ask you about that. So thank you for asking me. It's kind of funny. You almost kind of see a little bit of a changing of the guard because, God forbid, you know, there was a point where you even questioned the greatness of Mike Trout. You know, they tried to run me out of Twitter a couple of years ago when I said, guys, I fear Mookie Betts may be better than Mike Trout. And everyone was calling me crazy. Listen, the man has had the misfortune of not staying healthy the entirety of his career. And is, again, the misfortune of not playing in the playoffs. So we don't get to see that next level of who he is or could be, right? So, yeah, it's crazy to see that it's only, that it is 3.6% of guys saying this. How many people did they poll again of players?
100 players.
Okay, 100 guys. Yeah, that's 3.6%. It's not bad.
Yeah. I think obviously next year we're probably going to see a decline in his 3.3%, you know, just because this is another year where he's missing, you know, half of the season. Dante, what are your thoughts on Mike Trout, man? I kind of know how you feel about Buddy, but what do you think about him getting still being, you know, considered a top five player?
It's over. That Mickey Mantle comparison might be one of the greatest comparisons ever, like literally ever. And we all know how Mickey's career went. He was playing on one leg the last half of it. So I see it. I get it, because at the end of the day, it's only so long. It's kind of like with Jazz Chisholm being named the most overrated, which we're going to get into. It's only so long you can live off what you did or what we expect you to do, what we project to do. And, you know, with Mike Trout, the projections are crazy every year. But he's consistently got hurt. It's not one of those things where he's getting hurt every other year. It's like, you know, his body is just breaking down on him. And it's unfortunate, but it's a part of the game. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, for sure. No, and here's some quotes from players. Obviously, this is anonymous. On Ohtani, one player said, there's no comparison. Everybody has a comp, but he has no comp. He really is a unicorn. Either Shohei Roof or Babe Ohtani, there's no question. Pick one. You know, on Acuna, somebody says it's tough not to go with Ohtani, but Acuna is pretty close. I saw him take BP the other day, and I was truly impressed. And playing against him for the past 5 years, it's tough. With Ohtani, you've got two guys in one. I think he's the best player in baseball right now, though. So, you know, and even here on Mike Trout, it sounds like they were just kind of giving him, you know, that legacy vote. Because they say from
like,
everything,
okay, Grandpa, let's get you back to bed type shit.
Right. And you could kind of tell who answered this, what demographic, based on what they said. They said, from everything he's done over the past decade, it's honestly incredible. You always pull for him. He's just a true American kid, just goes out there and plays baseball, and it's fun to watch him every time. So
have a thought on who would be, if you had to guess. Again, this is all theoretical, people. Let's full disclosure. If I had to guess who I thought it was, honestly, like Bryce Harper would say some shit. Like Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins would 100% say something. I mean, like
Pete Alonso, like one of them.
Yeah.
Or like Paul Goldschmidt, you know? You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, that's definitely giving off.
You see what I'm...
Yeah. You know, it's giving off Kevin Youkilis vibes, although he's not in the league right now.
Yeah.
You know,
our great game. You feel me?
Right. Our great game. You know, a true American kid, just plays hard. But let's move on to the next one. So the second one was a little bit not surprising, but a little controversial, because this one is asking players who is the most overrated player in baseball. There was an overwhelming leader. They received 59 votes in this total. 20.3% of the votes went to Jazz Chisholm of the Miami Marlins. Second was Anthony Rendon with 10.2%. Carlos Correa came in at third with 6.7% of the votes. Tim Anderson at 5%. And then you have guys that follow after that were all on equal footing. Pete Alonso, Cody Bellinger, Alex Bregman, Ellie De La Cruz, that's one that's pretty shocking to me. Manny Machado and Blake Snell. Courtney, I'll go to you. What are your thoughts on Jazz Chisholm being the most overrated player in baseball by his peers?
Well, first off, looking at the other people that received votes, Chris Bryant, like, why am I here? What did I do to anybody?
Yeah, I mean, and for me,
his money, mine, and his business, man.
Getting
butts in seats.
For me to be overrated, you have to actually be good. So players like Tim Anderson, he's not rated.
I said that to y'all off camera, but like, yeah, this shit is just kind of messy. Like, these dudes are some haters. Listen, is Jazz Chisholm the best player in? What was the quote about Jazz specifically? Someone said something specifically about,
like,
Jazz.
How
did he get the cover of the show? Okay, well, first off, you know, MLB and their social currency at that time was diversity. So, of course, they wanted to really lean into that whole let the kids play, you know, shtick that they were riding hard for, you know, that 2020 to 2024.
Shit.
Yeah, but no, listen, I think in order to be overrated, you have to be good.
Yeah, that nigga stinks.
He's not good. I don't mean that disrespectfully.
I do. I do. He's not good. He's not good. He talks crazy. Like flat out, he's not good. I'm a still dip like King. Like, don't ever mention King Griffey Jr. What the fuck are you talking about? No, like the whole little press run he went on at the beginning of the season, and that team is the worst team in baseball. It's like, get the fuck out of here, bro. So like, yeah, personality is, he can sell anything. We're actually playing on the field. This is one of the few, even though like it is very pussy to only have 59 people vote and then nobody talks about why they picked the person. But yeah. I agree. Like, yeah. Jazz, that was, when I read it, I'm like, yeah, he is.
Before even seeing the question, I already knew that Jazz Chisholm was the most overrated. I'll be honest, I'm still trying to figure out how he got on the cover of MLB The Show. But I thought that this was very soft of the fact that everybody that was asked, that we only got that one quote. Just the one quote.
That's crazy.
How did he get on the show? And that's for everybody, though. For Carlos Correa, for Anthony Rendon. Like, Anthony Rendon, you could just clearly say, like, he doesn't play. You know, he got paid and he doesn't play. So how can he be rated?
People just don't like Anthony Rendon because he got paid all that fucking money and he don't do shit.
Yeah.
Sounds like pocket watching to me.
He just be traveling.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's just living off the perks.
I'm not mad at him. He's the most unapologetically authentic guy, and you're gonna get, I mean, if you've seen the article, you know, obviously he gets a little bit more into it about how the season's too long and how it needs to be shortened. I'm like, I mean, I gotta respect the guy. Like, it is just a job for him, right? Like, we're obviously fans of the game, but this is fucking work for him. And at the end of the day, labor's kind of trash.
No, I agree. Also, they're playing a game, and everybody's making millions of dollars. That was one of the questions I was on here. I didn't have it on the topic for today, but they did ask, you know, do you agree with Anthony Rendon saying the season is too long? And 68.3% said no. You know, a lot of them say, like, hey, I get it if we were playing football. I get it if we were playing basketball, more, you know, physically taxing game on the body. But we play, you know, this has been going on for over 150 years. We get paid a lot of money. It's not as taxing. Like, if anything,
it is incredibly taxing, though. I mean, that's my thought, at least. Like, that's a really, really long season. Is it possible to change it at this point? I don't think so. But, like, that's a really long – you know what's too long, actually? Spring training.
Now, that is something that they mentioned. They said, I think you can still keep the 162 games, just go about organizing it differently. Maybe let, like, there doesn't need to be 25 fucking spring training games. So
I really don't think that's necessary.
So you can go ahead and do a shortened spring training as far as the games, but maybe run a little bit more sim games, you know, inter squad games, and start the season, you know, March 20th. The thing with that is we do have a lot of teams that reside in the Midwest and the East Coast, so weather does play a factor. I was a little shocked that Ellie De La Cruz is already considered overrated. To me, that's just hate. Like, he's in year two of his. That's year two. You know, so I'm really shocked by that. But we're gonna move on to the next one. What organization has a bad reputation amongst players in Major League Baseball? This one obviously hit home for me because my team was on here. But there were 79 votes. 40 votes went to the Oakland Athletics. Second place was the Chicago White Sox with 19 votes. Third place was the Los Angeles Angels with 14. Coming in right after that is the Colorado Rockies with 10. And then you have teams like the Mets, the Pirates, the Marlins, the Rays, the Padres, 2 votes for the Yankees, which, you know, I could kind of understand. And then the Nationals and the Royals. Dante, I mean, this one's kind of self-explanatory, but what do you think about, you know, the A's coming in at first?
John Fisher is a shit stain on the league right now. Like, it goes without saying, like I said. And it's funny because I say pretty much every day when we talk, Mikey, if it wasn't for John Fisher, Jerry Reinsdorf would be the shit stain of the league. So I think that top two is projecting pretty correctly. The Angels, one thing I say about the Angels, bro, is that At least they try. Like, they spend money. They just have some bad luck. They've got a snake bit a couple times. Yeah, no, they. But even
they did spend money. Yeah. They did spend money.
I mean, they just stopped with Shohei, but even before that.
And then they stopped spending money. They were like, you know what? This is actually just good enough. That's the theme of most sports owners.
I don't think it was.
Every team, yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But I'm like, man, I'm not giving the Angels no slack. Fuck them. Go spend some money.
The Angels, you got to think, especially when your best players hurt every fucking season, and this is somebody who was a Bulls fan when Derrick Rose kept getting hurt, it ain't shit you could do about that. You can't build around somebody if they're not there. So that's the only reason I shoot them from there. But the A's are a joke, and like this next 2 years is going to be pretty crazy. Even with, I saw in the Oakland deal, they're talking about how they want to have neutral site games, which is fucking insane. But crazy. I mean, I guess that, you know, the Mexico City game, the London game, pretty much he's trying to be like the Jaguars. But
the NHL allowed the Arizona Coyotes to play in a freaking collegiate stadium with 4,500 seats for 2 years. It doesn't shock me at all if Rob Manfred went through with that. Money talk.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of crazy. And one player says it too, like the fact that they're going to be in Sacramento for 3 years, like that is literally a minor league park. Like you can't.
And again, keep in mind, that's 3 years is a stretch. You think they're going to get that shit done in Vegas in 3 years? We still don't even know if the fucking team is moving to Vegas. They haven't even been approved yet. That shit, they're still fighting over it in Vegas.
That's not the way.
It's almost 2025.
Yeah. No, I agree. Second on there was the Chicago White Sox. Now, you know, we don't pull any punches when it comes to our team. Our team is ass. They are run by who I would say, and I agree with Dante, is one of the top two worst owners in Major League Baseball and possibly all of sports. They had an overwhelming 19 votes. And here are some quotes. One player said, "I've never heard a good thing." Another player said, "Unlike some bad teams, they have more potential to be good," which is true because we know that there are players with talent that just, you know, they're just snake bitten, whether it's injuries, whether it's Eloy Jimenez, whether it's Yoan Moncada, who was a top number one overall prospect in the game, whether it's Michael Kopech, another top prospect in the game. You know, Luis Robert has been as advertised, but when he can stay on the field. You know, another quote was, "It sounds like no one wants to be there day in and day out. Like it's a grind just to show up to the ballpark. I couldn't imagine." Another player, "It's not good over there. You can tell by how often there's turnover that it usually means something's going on. Players leaving the organization and automatically doing better with their new team." You know, look no further than Kevin Pillar this year. Kevin Pillar was a minor league pickup, extra man to be a fourth outfielder. They go ahead and trade him to the Angels, and he is absolutely raking, starting every game for him. And Kevin Pillar is known as just a defensive outfielder out there. So, you know, what my thoughts on this is, the White Sox are on pace to be the worst Major League Baseball team in MLB history this year with their win-loss record. I personally am ecstatic and hoping on it because I want that on Jerry Reinsdorf's resume. I want that to say that Jerry Reinsdorf was the GM and allowed this to happen under his watch. Courtney, I go to you.
I mean, listen, like that, I think for me, it's the, obviously Oakland sucks, right? Like that's a whole different situation that we have to unpack another time, but the White Sox, it's generally unacceptable. You're the best sports market. Like it's New York and then it's Chicago. And I mean, New York, LA, and then Chicago. But either way, you're in a top three sports market and you can't even feel the competitive baseball team. The other team on the other side of town is doing great. I did pull up the attendance numbers because I was curious. The Chicago Cubs are averaging this season 35,497 fans a game. That makes them seventh in the league. And one thing that they share in common with the top 10 teams, of course, actually top nine, actually, that's not even true. You can't even feel a decent product that makes people even want to get to the ballpark. That's so embarrassing. The White Sox are 27th for context. They are averaging 16,000 fans a game, which in my opinion is 16,000.
Yeah, no, No, I mean, I agree with you. It all comes down to the one thing is Jerry Reinsdorf is in a sweetheart deal with the state of Illinois. There's a certain type of deal that he has going on where basically he receives all gate revenue. He receives all the concession money. As long as he doesn't sell over $1 million worth of tickets in a season. Why not run a professional franchise? Why not continue to just half-ass it if you're just making money? If this all
that's
this is
all doing- of these teams, these TV deals are now, there's no incentive to win. That's why I don't understand fans that get so defensive about, like, you know, if further in the Athletic article, they talk about money and like spending and shit. But that's so frustrating to hear these people do the bidding of these fucking billionaires with a B, billionaires. I know there's only a couple of owners in Major League Baseball that aren't billionaires. I think the Reds owner is worth like $500 million or something. Like, then sell to somebody with more money because there are people with more money. Clearly, you're not very competitive, except for, I guess, when it pertains to just making more money. That's the only thing that motivates them. You don't have to be good because you get paid. These TV deals have just gotten so out of control. The freaking gate revenue, because you got people still going to go watch a mediocre product. And I don't blame them. You know, I'm a fan, too, that has stood by shitty teams. I shouldn't have. OK, but I did.
Yeah, and Mike, you forgot. He also gets the parking revenue because he owns the parking lots. So like
100%.
Jerry Reinsdorf has a cash cow.
Yeah, and you have to remember this. I believe he owns about 51% of the team. There are other partners, and it's a huge thing. It's a family thing. So if this is just bringing them money and the team sucks, like this is feeding a lot of people's pockets. You know, now I hate it because he runs the Chicago Bulls the same way. So for me and Don, Sadie and Scott, like we're being double dipped with Jerry Reinsdorf. Like he's just fucking us over twice. He runs both teams the same way. And there's no Dante right now. I'll tell you right now, Dante. If we were to get an alert tomorrow that the Chicago White Sox have been sold and they're moving to whatever team, they're moving to Charlotte. They're announcing that Charlotte is gonna host the baseball city. A baseball team. Would you feel any type of way, Dante?
Nope. I think we've been neglected for so long. It's one of them situations where it's like, all right, like we were shorties when it happened, but he tried to move the team to Tampa. Like it's not nothing new. So I mean, I think if it got to the point where he did get what he wanted and move the team to Nashville, which they're getting an expansion team, so that's not gonna happen. If they were able to move the team somewhere, I think I would just be so disconnected, I would just go find me a new team. It wouldn't be anything to cry about. Like, and yes, talking to somebody who
we gotta remember, I lived there. Scott is not a White Sox fan. You do have to not include him in that narrative.
Yeah.
Again, and that's also, I'm probably, you know, I guess, why can't people be fans of teams that they want to be fans? Like, why do you have to have some kind of connection to, like, the team? I never to the city that team is in. I never understood that.
People are so gatekeepy
when it comes to sports. So
I don't think it's gatekeeping. I just think that's just how people were as you grew up. Like, their team player, you know, like, us growing up, we've become fans of who our parents like or who maybe our uncle like. You know, like, everything is passed down generation to generation.
Yeah.
You have to remember, too, like, our parents didn't grow up on an era where they're getting fucking MLB home run alerts off of Twitter. You know, like, they saw who they saw that was local. Why are the Cubs so – the Cubs are the fucking lovable losers for a while. But why are they so popular? Because they had a contract with WGN, the same as the Bulls, and that ran nationwide on regular television. You didn't need cable for that. So it makes sense why people in Iowa, why people in Nebraska, why people in St. Pete, you know, Florida – are Cubs fans, or, you know, vice versa. So I know a lot of people, you know, I got a lot of friends. My man Jerms, he lives in Brooklyn. He's a Houston Astros fan and a Minnesota Viking fan. Hates any New York sports team. My guy Hens, he likes the Chargers. He likes the Atlanta Hawks. Doesn't like any New York team. So we're starting to get to that era, too, now where the younger generation, with my godsons, my little cousin, they're just fans of players, you know, because they have so much access. I don't want to watch Alex Caruso and Kobe White I'm going to go ahead and watch Anthony Edwards on League Pass at the house, you know? So yeah. That's really what it is.
I really only brought that up because I think that people, honestly, again, I don't believe in supporting a bad product. If these people aren't going to feel the competitive team, then I think you should throw your support, both financial and obviously with your TV viewing dollars, and support a better product. That's the only thing that's going to make sense to these owners. You can't, you know, appeal to their sense of decency. They're billionaires. That doesn't really exist with them.
No, for sure. But I'm way too far gone to give up on any of the three teams. The team that I'm most like, I'm so far gone from is the Chicago Bulls, just because we know how the NBA is. The NBA is not like the MLB, where you can have a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, just go on a run with, you know, 84 wins. You know, 84 wins, if you translate 84 wins into the Eastern Conference standings in basketball terms, that's a play-in. That's a play-in team. That's, you know, that's the Detroit Pistons making it to the to the finals. You know, so, you know, for me, like, I'm so far in, but I haven't gone to a Chicago Bulls game at the United Center in Chicago since 2015 when Derrick Rose – it was after one of Derrick Rose's injuries, opening day against the Knicks. The White Sox, I refuse to step foot in that ballpark, even though I probably want to go next week to see the Dodgers. Like, I want to go see another team, you know? But and the same with the Bears. Like, I just never give up on the Bears. I let them torture me. They can cheat on me all they want. It is what it is. You know, I'll be home with the light on and food in the microwave when they come on Sunday.
That's so sad.
But we're gonna move on to a team worth a damn, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, players were polled. I have it here. Players were polled on the Dodgers asking, and they were asked, was the Dodgers offseason spending good for the game of baseball? An overwhelming amount of people, there were 86 votes, 91.8% of the players said yes. Only 4.65% said no, and the other 3% said, I don't know. Dante, what is your thought on, you know, obviously these are competitors and people league-wide, these players thinking that what the Dodgers did is actually good for the game?
It's smart, because, I mean, at the end of the day, the Dodgers, we just talked about the billionaires, they're one group that understands that when we spend money, we make it right back. So, you know, I think if you're a player, you look at them spending their money and they probably ask, and they're saying like, well, you know, let's hope a few more of these owners catch on to this. Like, you got guys like Hal Steinbrenner, who owns a money printer, who's sitting here saying, well, financially, we don't know if we can afford Juan Soto and shit like that. So if I'm a player,
I would like to interject on that just to say that the Los Angeles Dodgers do lead Major League Baseball in attendance, averaging 46,868 fans a game.
So yeah, they have the formula. They understand it. What are you saying, Courtney? Go ahead.
I was just saying people want to watch a winning team. Shocker. Money machine printer go, brr, you know?
No, for sure. And one thing that players said was, yes, absolutely, it's great for the game because people like box office type stuff. When the game was at its best, big market teams were spending a lot of money. In basketball, the Miami Heat, Golden State Warriors were crushing. They were getting more views. Fans don't like to admit it, but they do like super teams. And, you know, as a viewer, I agree. We're going to gravitate to that because it can either be amazing or it can be a fucking car crash. You know, another player says, that's what makes baseball beautiful. Those guys spend $1 billion and will still get swept in the first round. And I love it because that is true. You can have a team like the Dodgers that can go ahead and spend $1 billion on three players and Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto, and Shohei Ohtani in the offseason. But a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, a wild card team, can come in and beat them. So that's the beauty of the game. I think it's good for baseball, too, just because we all know when these signings happen, it doesn't guarantee that they will be hosting up, you know, the trophy at the end of the year. But it is fun to watch. I think it's fucking incredible that every game, whether they're hosting at home, the bottom of the first inning, I will be watching Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman at minimum up the bat, back to back to back. You know, so it is. I do agree with that player that people want to see that. I mean, Shohei Ohtani has been hitting the shit out the ball. After the first few weeks, you know, it seemed that, you know, he was kind of adjusting. We all know what that's like. We see players every season. Every time a player signs a massive contract, they kind of, you know, start to, you know, whittle under the pressure. That lasted for him for even 3 weeks. That for only 3 weeks. That shows what type of talent he is. If you look at the numbers he's putting up right now, he is the National League MVP. Once again, now he's probably going to win an MVP in another league. So I agree with it. You know, I think it's good for the game. It doesn't necessarily take away, because in baseball, you want parity, but you're beholden to what the owners do. For example, Jerry Reinsdorf, if he doesn't want to spend money, then he doesn't want to spend money. If people in Pittsburgh don't want to spend money, even though they continuously have top prospects and actually really good players, then what can you do? You know, somebody has to spend the money. So I enjoyed and I agreed with these guys.
Yeah. So real quick, I don't know if you saw them talk about this and break down the whole Athletic piece on MLB Now with Brian Kenny. Did you happen to catch that?
No.
I thought it was so funny, and it actually really irritated me and just reminded me. I'm like, oh yeah, don't forget that you're watching the armchair league of the network, right? But they had a graph where they obviously showed those numbers, but the bar, it was a bar graph. So obviously they had the 91%, that was a blue, that was a blue one. And then they had the red for the no, but they had them half and half. So if you're looking at it and you're not actually looking at the numbers, it looked like more people were saying, you know, in the negative, that it was actually a bad thing for baseball. So I thought the framing of that bar graph was ridiculous. But yeah, the only people that were saying that they didn't like it are just, they're mad they don't play for them. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're a player, you're like, shit, I just hope I'm good enough. I have
a career here, because
you know what? The Dodgers are going to come after me.
Pass.
Yeah.
I can't hear you, Dante. What'd you say?
Oh, no, I just said facts. Y'all got it.
So we're going to transition into something a little bit currently right now happening on the field, and that is the American League shortstop race, obviously the race for who is going to be starting the All-Star game this summer. And it is led by two of the most electric players in the game, Bobby Witt and Gunnar Henderson. So my question to y'all, which shortstop are you taking for the next 10 years? And I'm going to go ahead and lead this, you know, with a little context. Bobby Witt is 23 years old. Gunnar Henderson is 22 years old. Bobby Witt is batting .326. With a
also came in the same draft, right? They were in the same draft. Bobby was 2 and Gunner was like 40 something, right? Like 45 or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so Bobby's batting .326 with a .937 OPS, a .563 slug, a .375 OBP. He's got 11 homers, 50 RBIs, 19 stolen base, and a 4.1 WAR. On the other side, you got Gunnar Henderson. 22 years old, batting .273, but he has 21 homers, 47 RBIs, a .971 OPS, a .598 slug with a .373 OBP, 4.8 WAR, and 9 stolen bases. So my question to you, Dante, which one of those two shortstops are you taking for the next 10 years?
Oh, I'm always
going. Same draft, by the way.
Okay.
The two pick and 43.
Okay. No, I'm going to always go with the guy with more power. So I'm going to go with Gunner. I think Gunner, having that type of power from the shortstop spot, you know, that's classic old school baseball shit right there. You know, he's a guy that's going to hit you 30 home runs, play a solid shortstop. And so with Bobby, even though like at the beginning of the season, I said, if the Royals were going to do anything, it was because of Bobby. So I do think he's the guy who's going to be a perennial MVP and all of that. But, you know, 326 is cool. I'm fine with 273 if you give me 21 home runs. That's cool with me. So I think more than anything, I would go with Gunner.
Courtney. I'm on the opposite, actually. I like Bobby Witt Jr. I think defensively he's got the edge. And I think he's a lot faster on the base path than Gunnar Henderson. so yeah, I'm taking Bobby Witt any day. I know people like the power, the big bat pause. It's actually, I don't have to say pause, I'm a woman. But no, people like the big bat. So yeah, I get why Gunnar Henderson is a sexy pick, and it's not a bad pick at all. You know, my question for you, Mikey, is which player do you think is more essential to their team? Like, if you took them out of the lineup, which team would suffer more? I gotta say, if you take Bobby Witt out of that lineup in Kansas City, That's a completely different team. It's not a winning team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I would say Bobby Witt Jr. just because of some of the parts. They're still young there, you know, outside of Salvi Perez and Vinny Pasquantino. You know, they're still young there. I mean, you take Gunnar Henderson out of his lineup, then you still have a number one overall pick and the starting catcher for the AL and Adley Rutschman. You still have tremendous power and guys like Ryan Mountcastle, Anthony Santander, who can play, you know, premium positions, first base and corner outfield. You still have a ton of prospects, you know, on the Orioles side. My thing is just left-handed power bats from the shortstop position are impossible to come by. I mean, I can only name one right now, and it's Corey Seager. You know, it's just ridiculous what he does from the left side of the bat. I mean, he's actually approaching, like, within his first two seasons, he's like at Alex Rodriguez level of the numbers that he's putting up his first 2 years. Like, it is crazy. And not to mention, as a rookie, he's already won the Silver Slugger Award at, you know, at his position. Like, he came in and he's doing stuff. You know, Bobby Witt won the AL Rookie of the Year. I think he was snubbed on the Gold Glove last year. But you can't go wrong with either two. I think for me personally, I toss and turn with this because I do agree, Courtney, Bobby Witt has that speed factor. And, you know, Gunnar Henderson, when you look at his RBIs, yeah, he's down, you know, he's three short of Bobby Witt Jr., but this is also somebody that's batting leadoff, you know. So whereas Bobby Witt is positioned at the three hole, he's got two hitters in front of him that do get on base, and Mikel Garcia. Then they do put in, Pasquantino, and then they go, you know.
He started the rally for them today. I don't know if everybody in here was watching that game. I was like, okay, Mikel Garcia leading off. I think he's due today. Yeah. And then he got that hit that got him into position, and then they were able to walk it off. It was beautiful.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I personally, I'm partial just to the left-handed bat because that it's rare in the league at shortstop. Now, I want to see, because obviously because of his build, is he going to be a shortstop for the rest of his career? Is he going to be one of these guys like Alex Rodriguez, like a Manny Machado, that has to slide over to third base? Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be a shortstop for the majority of his career, barring any type of catastrophic injury where he might have to move to second base. So I'm going to ride with Gunnar Henderson now, but you ask me in 2 months, I don't know. You know, right now, though, who would you say is going to be the starting, you know,
the starting shortstop?
I
think barring anything dramatic happening with Bobby Witt Jr., I think it's going to be Gunnar Henderson. For context, I think it's going to be Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah. And just by the way, I know this don't have anything to do with talent. These are two of the greatest baseball names I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson.
Well, like, these are two great baseball cards,
buddy.
Yeah.
Real big energy.
Those are the type of names I need on my offensive line. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are motherfuckers that are pushing F-150s in the summer.
Oh, like the dude that just got drafted to the Chargers. What is it, Joe Holt?
Yep.
I must say, Gunnar sounds like he got a mullet.
See how big that man is? Like, he was next to somebody else who was. Oh, he was next to Sean Merriman. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
That's a large man child. So that's all that we got for today, man. We're going to keep it short. Like we said, we got our man Dante under the weather. I appreciate you thugging it out for us. You know, we got championship courts. She's about to get her hockey on in a few. So, you know, stay tuned, for our next episode. We have that coming up for you, next week. And we'll see what the storyline is. You know, we're going to have some good series coming up this weekend. You know, we're starting to get into – kind of, meaningful baseball. We are about halfway through the season. There are 70 games that have been played. So, you know, we're getting there. And now we're starting to see, you know, who is for real, who's not. And as we get into the summer and as we get into these episodes, we're going to start talking about who should be buyers and sellers, who are guys that should be, on the move. And so it's going to be interesting. And, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, giving y'all more content. So, you know, we're out. You know where to find us at. Find Courtney at 1-800-CALLER-BRO. Find Dante at October Zone Tay. Do not look for him on Instagram. He will find you. And then you can find me on Twitter at JR_Solito. I'm having some issues with my Twitter and my personal job. I think I might just hit him with the views on my own opinion and keep my main Twitter rocking. But stay tuned. We might just create a page for straight sports content. You know, hey, if y'all have any, this is what I need y'all help with. If y'all have any names for my backup Instagram, let me know.
Burner? You mean
your burner? No, it's not going to be a burner. This is No, it's not. Chill. My girl's in the other room. It can't be my burner. It's got to be, it's going to be just solely sports content stuff. You know, I was thinking baseball, something maybe like 643 Mikey, you know what I'm saying? But let me know. Holla at me, slide in my DMs, you know, or don't slide in my DMs, actually. My girl's in the other room, like I said. But holla at me on Twitter. We're going to find a new name. But we out of here, y'all.